Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I will be your host for today, Matt Wilhelm, live from the Dog Bowl in Berea, joined here by Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for the Cleveland Browns. What's going on, Andrew?
Not much, just arguably one of the best sports day of the year. We can debate that in our time, but definitely a top three sports day of the year.
It definitely is. March Madness has begun. Your brackets are closed. Who do you have as a winner? Would you like to change it? Kentucky versus the field, who would you take? If you had to put $100 of your own money on it, that I don't know. Welcome again to the Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to jump into some Ohio Business Machine hot topics for today. We'd love to get you interacting in the show, 216-578-0850 or via Twitter at Browns_daily. The competition committee met yesterday, had a conference call to accept requests from all 32 teams for any number of rule changes that they feel that need to go into effect to help better the NFL football game. So I ask you, what rule would you like to see the NFL change? So call in with your responses, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. And I pose that question to you, Andrew. What changes would you like to see? What tweaks to the game do you think to keep it the same product without deviating from the game of football while making it safer and also to getting those calls right?
You know, this wasn't among the 23, but obviously – it was the big emphasis was on replay, and 13 of the 23 rule proposals had something to do with coaches' challenges, replays, things like that. If I was submitting a rule proposal, I would kind of combine some of these things, but I like the way colleges do replay in that there's no challenges per se unless you basically don't need a challenge. There are challenges there, but you don't need one because they basically review anything that's kind of close. And I know that's maybe a problem in college because a lot of those games go about 4 hours.
Yep.
So that could be an issue. So kind of something not as extreme as what the college does, but I like the fact that you don't have to worry about the flag execution, things like that. And then more often than not, you're hearing less about these controversial, crazy calls in college maybe when it's able to be controlled with a review than you do in the NFL. So I like the college system with booth reviews. Everything's reviewed upstairs. It's not down on the field. That's what I would submit. I don't see the NFL going forward with maybe that proposal just because I think it would slow down the game too much. But if it's the difference between getting the right and wrong call, I'm in favor of it.
Now, the most outlandish rule change was submitted by the Indianapolis Colts. We touched upon it very quickly, and very quickly, I believe that the Indianapolis Colts have therefore become the laughingstock of the league. And please again explain the three-point potential conversion that the Indianapolis Colts submitted to the Rules Committee.
So basically, if you go for two and get it, they're offering you the chance then to attempt a 50-yard field goal. And if you make that field goal, it's another point. I like how there's a caveat in the rule, though, where they say, if you want, you can go for a fake field goal from that 50-yard field goal distance. So if you want to really make one point as difficult as possible, you can go for it with that. But that would, in turn, make 9 points a possibility on any possession. And it's such an extreme change to the game we know. I mean, I know it was a big deal when the two-point conversion got back. And I think this is too much for the NFL to even stomach, but it got on the docket, and it's going to be discussed. Whether it's discussed for a minute, an hour, 2 hours,
probably a minute.
But I can see the Colts being the only team that votes for this.
Of course, because you know they can't stop anybody defensively, and of course they want to accumulate as many points as possible with Andrew Luck as their quarterback. But the one thing to me that's very definitive when it comes to that rule, which is why no longer than maybe not realistically 5 to 10 minutes will be discussed when it comes to this, is if you recall, They're trying to make extra points and field goals safer by protecting the snapper with his head down. You're not allowed to line up within his body frame to protect him from getting run over or the air. And also, too, just in general, any ramming situation that is created in the game of football, they're trying to alleviate. So to me, the Indianapolis Colts are, you know, out of their mind to even subject this, because it is another opportunity for that ramming situation, for that cluster of 22 bodies to be, or okay, say 20 bodies, you know, within close parameters of, you get the hurtling things, as we saw, you know, Cam Chancellor multiple times towards the end of the season do, and potentially try to block a kick. A lot of things will come into play, and I think a lot of risk of players' health is really at stake on one more additional play. And then also, too, just how reckless a team would be to potentially fake a field goal from the 50-yard line.
The Patriots, who seem to be all over these rule proposals, I didn't count how many, but they submitted a bunch. You know, the Browns, on the flip side, did not submit any. But the Patriots submitted one other proposal kind of along the lines of fixing the extra point, and that's making it, instead of a very short field goal, that they would move it back to the 15-yard line. Then that becomes like about a 32-yard field goal.
Sure, which I have no problem with. Yeah, which is still a chip shot.
Yeah, it's still, you know, every NFL kicker should be able to nail that about
95% of the
time. Yeah, 95% of the time. But it makes it something you now have to sort of watch.
And what did
as a fan.
What did you make of the Pro Bowl goalposts being moved in? Like, something you like?
As more narrow? Yeah, yes. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with making field goals a little bit more difficult in the NFL. And again, comparing, it's just amazing how it seems like college produces the perfect amount of kickers for the NFL. Because you watch college, and it's a mess with field goals. I mean, nothing is a sure thing in college football. But once it's whittled down to about 32 guys, 33, the guys who rotate on a number of teams, those guys seem to be pretty automatic from 40 and beyond. And then it's the really great kickers who are so consistent from like 45 to 55. And that kind of separates the great kickers and the good kickers in the league.
And again, Adam Vinatieri, the kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, actually came out and said he was against, and I think he's absolutely absurd, that they would move in the goalpost to simply affect the kickers, but more so than anything, you're affecting that play, that point, or potential points that go on the board, whether it be field goals or extra points. Do you at all feel sorry for a kicker who has to deal with, these rules being changed on their play, but essentially, minimal rules being changed when it comes to the flow of the other basically 80 plus snaps that happen in a football game?
Yeah, it's just going to make it tougher, because I'd have to see the stats to see of the kicks attempted from about 45 to 55 yards, which ones are missed because they're wide and which ones are missed because they're short.
That's a good point.
I mean, so I don't know how much it would truly affect it, because I think it probably depends on the kicker. I think that some kickers just have a bigger leg and are less accurate, and some are more accurate and just can't get the leg up consistently for 52 to 55. So I don't know. I almost wish they could do, and this is kind of almost impossible, but like have the narrow field goals for the extra points, or even when you move it back to 30 yards, but then during a normal field goal, bring out the normal field goal. That would never happen. But I don't know if that's a necessary change, I guess, but I guess the goal behind a lot of this, and it seems like the NFL just really wants to spice up the extra point.
They do.
More than it
Make
currently
it tougher.
Is. Yeah. And I think it would really affect the game, because, you know, you see people tweet it when someone scores a touchdown. It's like the Browns get the first touchdown, someone will tweet, Browns up 7-0.
Yeah.
Like it didn't even matter. The extra point doesn't matter. So I guess the goal is getting toward there, but it's going to be a lot of hand-wringing to get kind of a happy medium with that.
I believe you're definitely correct when it comes to that. Again, chime in on your topic. What rule changes would you like to see in the NFL? 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Another Ohio Business Machine hot topic for the day is NCAA tournament has started. Where are you watching the games? Are you in your comfy chair at home? Are you out at the bar with friends? We've got games from 12 p.m. to almost 12 a.m. I'm sure some of those West Coast games will conclude after midnight. Where are you watching the games? Who are you rooting for? Is your bracket filled out? How confident are you with that bracket? And one other great point of note that our great producer Jason Gibbs has noted for us on the rundown today is, because it is tournament time, if there are any games that are on television, simply because ESPN Cleveland has the rights to those games, and any close games come on while you're either at work and not be able to tune in and watch it, or in your car, we'll be able to throw to some of those buzzer beaters to see if your bracket will stay intact or it gets busted early. And one other thing that I want to make note of to create some conversation for us, as you guys can call in and tweet the show, and for you, Andrew, is a few more mock drafts have come out, And Charlie Casserly, who, of course, we were supposed to have on yesterday, will probably grab early next week. Not only did he say that the Cleveland Browns had offered a number one pick for Sam Bradford, he also has the Cleveland Browns in his most recent mock draft trading up with the New York Jets to accumulate the number sixth overall pick and select Marcus Mariota. Brian Baldinger, another NFL Network employee, has Marcus Mariota dropping to the Browns at number 12. So I ask you, Andrew Gribble, I ask you, Cleveland Browns fans, the Dog Pound, to weigh in. Would you like Mariota if he's available at 6 and the Browns make a move? Or would you love him if he dropped to 12? Do you go quarterback at 12, having to go consecutive years with a first-round quarterback?
You know, I would think of those two possibilities, which I still am not going to say either one is all that realistic at this point, just from what we see, you know, what from the philosophy of trying to maybe the quarterbacks the Browns have acquired and Josh McCown and kind of the room that's kind of being put together and the uncertainty with Johnny Manziel, but the belief that he's still going to be, could potentially be a very good quarterback for the Browns. Of those possibilities, I would see the trading up more likely just because I just can't see Mariota naturally falling to 12.
Right.
Because there's been talk of the Redskins would just draft him so they could trade him.
Sure.
And because you could make him an asset to a team like the Eagles. And I think I know we maybe didn't predict it when Bridgewater fell all the way to 30, and we didn't predict it when Aaron Rodgers fell all the way in the draft. So maybe I could be wrong with that. I just don't at this stage and with what people have said about Mariota, I just don't see him slipping naturally to number 12 to just fall into the Browns' lap. But I will say the uplifting thing from these mock drafts that I continue to see is more and more believe that Danny Shelton might slip a little bit to the Browns.
Agree.
And I think there was, you know, he kind of rode the buzz, I think, of the Senior Bowl where he was far and away the best prospect at that game. And I think people maybe got a little excited. And then they remembered, oh, there's all these good underclassmen at the Combine that we maybe rode off a little bit too soon. So I think if Danny Shelton's available at 12, I don't hesitate. I think that is a player who is one, just a fantastic player, middle of the defense guy, but two, a guy, you know, fantastic backstory, very smart guy, kind of fits the culture here in Cleveland. It just makes too much sense if he comes at that point naturally. And if it's Danny Shelton and one of those top three receivers, that's a very tough decision, but I don't see it working out that way. I think it'd be one or the other.
And we've ruled out Mariota for so long. We've only talked defensive line, edge pass rusher, or wide receiver at both 12 and 19 based on what was available, just banking on the fact that Marcus Mariota would be gone before we had an opportunity to even create a conversation about him. But we do know Ray Farmer has come out and said that he has a liking of Marcus Mariota in his football game, so you never know if the Browns are done. I asked that question yesterday to Scott Petrak, and he said he doesn't think so. Jason Gibbs, I'm going to bring in our great producer, Jason Gibbs, from the Galleria Studio. Gibbs, where do you weigh in on those mock drafts linking the Cleveland Browns to Marcus Mariota, either at 6, trading up with the New York Jets, or dropping to 12?
It's a pipe dream.
Pipe dream? That's it?
I think Browns fans...
But why are these guys coming out and saying it?
Someone's floating it out there. Whether it's an agent, whether it's a front office guy, someone's floating that out there. I'm sorry, I don't buy Marcus Mariota's coming here. I don't think he's going to fall. I don't see the Browns trading up to grab him. Great. I'd be shocked if they did. I just don't see it happening. Yeah. And I just... At this point, I almost feel like you got to get the best player available at number 12. And I think that's either a defensive lineman, a wide receiver, or an offensive lineman. Whoever you think is the best available at that point from those three guys or three positions, that's where you need to address.
See, the interesting thing I saw, and we've talked about Charlie Casserly's mock draft with which includes the Browns trading up to 6, is that he still has a pick for the Browns at number 19, which – if the Browns are trading up to 6,
yeah,
I don't think they have that number 19 pick.
Right.
So, and it also has DeVante Parker slipping to 19, which is not,
very,
not
very,
what you see. Again,
everyone we spoke to doesn't have him making it, basically barely hasn't making it to 12.
Yeah, my thing with DeVante Parker, I have a tough time seeing. I know this would be maybe an emotional decision, but for Minnesota to want to pair him up with Teddy Bridgewater, his old college teammate, I think if Browns fans really want Parker, I think the Vikings are clearly the team to worry about because they have a need at wide receiver. I know they got Mike Wallace, but I think they could still use another one. And you think about the chemistry that Bridgewater and Parker already have together. that's going to be a tough decision for them to
it's a great
maybe
future.
Not
it's a
maybe
great
not
future.
Go with their heart on that one and try to and see if it happens.
The other name linked to the Cleveland Browns in some of these mock drafts, one mock draft actually having us go take Jalen Strong at 12, which meant that all three of the top wide receivers would be off the board by 12.
See, I think that's way too high.
I do,
I think
too.
If you took him, if he was there at 19, different story. It's an amazing what seven picks or what seven spots does, but at 19, I'm fine. At 12, if the top three are off the board, you got to look elsewhere, I think.
And I think there's too many good pass rushers and defensive linemen in the draft to make that kind of decision.
I agree.
I think that's like there's – you know, I think some people have said this is one of the best classes ever of pass rushers in that department. So that looks good, and that means there's more value at that position too, potentially for the Browns in the second and third rounds going forward.
And I thought you asked a great question yesterday about first tier, those three wide receivers, and how big is that gap? How many picks is that gap to that second tier of wide receivers, which would include, you know, Jalen Strong, Beckham, and Devin Smith from Ohio State. You know, how big is that? Is it from, you know, if they're gone by 12, is it to 19, or is it into the 20s? And are some of those guys, simply because, you know, those playoff caliber teams that draft between 25 or 24 and 32, don't essentially need those wide receivers? Do they drop into the second round? And can the Browns move up from an early second round pick to be maybe first in the second round and acquire a Jalen Strong, a Devin Smith, or a Beckham?
And I know that the depth of this wide receiver class has been talked about a lot, but I have a tough time seeing the top end being as strong as last year's top end. But still, there's going to be value again later on for wide receivers.
All right, there we go. We're going to get our first break going. Our Ohio Business Machine hot topics that we want you to weigh in on. What NFL rules would you change to change the game right now? NCAA tournament has started. March Madness is now in effect. Where are you watching the games? Call us at 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble in the Dog Bowl. We're with you for another hour and 45 minutes. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's somehow you are.